Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hi, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Your wedding is a day you'll remember forever. And your fiancé? Your fiancé deserves a suit that feels just as special as the moment you say I do. At Nick's, we've dressed over 20,000 wedding parties, and we specialize in helping weddings own their suits for about the same price as a rental. That means not only will your fiancé look amazing on your wedding day, but we'll have a suit that can be worn for years to come. Let us make this the easiest and most meaningful part of planning your wedding. Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, inside the Bill Ford Tubb studio on this Monday, 888-808-1019 is the number. Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan. Just before we go around the league, just quickly, the caller was talking about number one picks, first round picks, quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls. Well, while he is right, I mean, I go back to with my list of quarterbacks, I go back to 2010 with this. So I'll just give you the, now there are, they've made it to Super Bowls, but he is right that there's not a lot that have won Super Bowls. So I'll give you the, just the number one overall picks that were quarterbacks over the last, I've got the last 15 years.
So number one overall pick at quarterback to win a Super Bowl with the team.
Right, but I'm just going to give you the, I'm going to give you the ones.
Gotcha.
Because he is right. There's, going back to 2010, they haven't won Super Bowls, but again, there's examples where they've gotten to the Super Bowl. So Sam Bradford was the first overall pick in 2010. No. Cam Newton in 2011 made it to the Super Bowl but didn't win. Andrew Luck in 2012 was the number one overall pick. There was no number one overall pick in 13. In 14, nope. Blake Bortles was the first quarterback taken third overall. He was okay.
The Boat.
The what?
The Boat.
Blake the Boat.
Yeah, that's his nickname, The Boat.
I didn't know that. Look at that. 2015, Jameis Winston was number one overall. He has not won a Super Bowl or been to one. In 2016, Jared Goff was number one overall. Obviously an opportunity this year. In 17, Mitchell Trubisky, first quarterback taken, second overall. 2018, the number one pick
was touchdown yesterday, by the way.
It was Baker Mayfield. Who knows, maybe this year. Kyler Murray in 19. Burrow's been to the Super Bowl. He was picked one, number one overall in 2020. Trevor Lawrence, first pick in 2021. No first round, no number one pick in 2022. That was Pickett at number 20. In 2023 was Bryce Young and Caleb Williams this year. So going back to 2010, he's right. There has not been a first round number one pick as a quarterback that has won a Super Bowl. A couple have been there, but they haven't won one.
But that's why it's important to build a team.
Agreed.
Right? Like we talked about it behind the curtain before we went to after we went to break. If you're the Patriots right now, sitting at the number one spot, you can trade down and light this roster up.
Sure.
And really get on par in a division that's really not that strong right now. So, you know, there's a lot to be had. But I think most teams that go to distance, as great as Patrick Mahomes is, his defense and that roster and the way they're built and the way they're coached is why they go as far as he's just the cherry on top.
Well, and he's one of the few, you know, we've talked about this ad nauseum too. Like, to me, he's one of the few guys where when Daniel Jones got the $160 million, I know he doesn't get all of it, obviously, with him not here anymore, but $40 million a year, like, not every NFL quarterback deserves to make money like they're Patrick Mahomes. There are difference makers like Patrick Mahomes, like Joe Burrow, like Josh Allen, like Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
It's a select number. Like, those guys should get because they elevate their team. If you're maybe even Baker Mayfield at this point for seeing what he's doing is incredible.
Jared Goff.
Right. Yeah, I suppose so. Sure. Yeah. I mean, maybe. And I can't put Jared Goff on the level of those other guys. He's been unbelievable.
Okay.
But I don't know. Well, we'll find out because things have fallen apart around him health-wise in terms of the roster. And maybe we'll find out this year. My point is, just because you're a starting quarterback in the NFL does not mean you should be paid like the top starting quarterbacks in the NFL, in my opinion. And it's what ruins teams and caps.
But that's, look at Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is a prime example.
I agree.
He's sitting the bench right now, and they backed the Brinks truck on him.
Big time.
So
big time. Now, let's bring it back to the weekend, because there was a lot of good stuff there, and this one falls in line with the quarterback conversation. And I thought, when I watched Jaden Daniels beat the Eagles last week, the way the poise he shows, the throws he makes, pressure situations, the moment doesn't, for a kid, it's amazing to me, the moment doesn't seem too big for him. And again, last night, to engineer, now granted, they could have lost, you know, that kick could have went the extra 3 yards and went, you know, over the crossbar, and they could have lost the game, so I understand that, but they didn't. And when they get the ball in overtime, it's like, give me the ball, I ain't giving it back to you. And he continues to impress me every week.
I think the biggest thing that's impressive with him is that most quarterbacks his age struggle on, obviously, you follow the script, you do the best you can, and you try to be the best. But there's also, he has, for as young as he has developed this sense of, all right, it's time for me to take over the game, right? Like, I go back to that Eagles game, like this right here. I mean, this was just an easy throw, him, you know, getting outside of pocket, delivering a dime. But there's times right here, he's just on time with his footwork. There's not a lot of panic with his feet. He just fires it. When he throws the ball, he's deliberate, right? There's no second guessing. He's not patting it. He's not hunching. Even go back to the Philly game. I go back to that 4th and 11 where he clearly knows, I can make this throw. I could just tuck it and run. And he gets the first down with his feet. Like, those are like intangibles that you really can't teach, man. Like, kid, here's the ball. Make magic. He's been able to do that time after time this year. So I'm just happy that it feels good. Like, I've told you before, like, I've played against teams where it's been brown bags in the stands, you know, to see the Commanders finally get their guy, to see that building packed on a Sunday night football. And to see, you know, a guy, I mentioned this to Dan Quinn, who recruited me to Hofstra.
Which I didn't know until today.
Right. And I know some people on that staff, to see that organization pretty much come alive after everything they've been through with their owner. For Christ's sakes, man, it gives me a little bit of hope that the Jets one day will arrive just like the Commanders have arrived.
Well, so now you bring it back to the Jet and the Giant conversation, because it's all encompassing. You talk about Dan Quinn and the difference he has made there and the stability it feels like he has brought that franchise. You talk about Jaden Daniels getting your guy and it turning out to be the right guy so far. Again, long way to go, but it certainly seems like they've got the guy for the next 10, 12, 13 years. Who knows? And then you come back to the relationship. And, I mean, I will tell you, just from watching the Cowboys from afar, sometimes I was lucky enough to go do some games, but obviously part of the Compass Media Network's coverage every week, you know, that defense beyond love Dan Quinn. Like, they didn't want him going anywhere. Now, they were happy for him, obviously, and they've all talked about it. But that relationship with the coach goes beyond the quarterback. But when you have it with the coach and quarterback, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, because, listen, the ball is always in the quarterback's hands, right? So your trust and your whole future is in his hands. You got to have a relationship with that guy if you're a head coach to make sure you guys are thinking on the same accord, on the same page. I think that's the biggest thing why the Jets thing is so crazy, because when Hackett was here, especially with Aaron Rodgers, he was like, all right, we got a guy, right? That didn't follow. That fell apart. Now you're talking about Downing with Aaron Rodgers, and it still seems like there's some disconnect. And so if you're going to get a new head coach and you're going to bring back Aaron Rodgers, who's that guy that's going to be able to be and be transparent and have some type of connection with Aaron Rodgers? I don't know if there's a coach out there. Maybe Vrabel. Maybe. I mean, for the Jets to turn it around next year, they're going to have to bring in a coach, especially if you're bringing in Aaron Rodgers back. If you bring him back, that's going to lock into Aaron Rodgers and somehow get him to play a lot better and be more efficient at that position.
I would tell you, if it was me,
I don't know if there's a coach out there.
If I was named the GM of the Jets,
yes.
To me, there's three guys. It's everybody we've talked about. It's Gruden, it's Flores, and it's Vrabel. Like, those, that's my short list. I don't want to go the young coordinator route again. I want to do what I think feels right. And I think with a team that does have talent, that I think could win relatively quickly, even though they're 4-12 this year.
Yep.
I want someone that I know knows what they're doing in that spot. Yeah, those are the three guys.
And that's why I like the Flores pick, right? A New Yorker born in Brooklyn. And then also, the reason I like Flores the most, because it seems like he's not going to take all the BS from Aaron Rodgers, that he's going to hold him accountable. He's going to hold that whole locker room accountable. He has that thing about him, right? And so I like that pick. I also like Vrabel. I just do.
Yeah.
I just feel like he's a guy who's changed the culture, played ball, obviously with the Pats, and did a hell of a job when he was a Titans. You got to understand, you know, when Vrabel was a Titans, he also put together that coaching staff, right? He did a great job putting that coaching staff together and making that team legit at one point. I mean, when Arthur Smith was there, I mean, he changed Ryan Tannehill's career while he was in Tennessee. And that was under Mike Vrabel. So if I was to pick two, I like Flores and I like Vrabel.
I'm going to throw one at you. And this would go in line with the idea that Rodgers would come back. What about Mike McCarthy?
I like Mike McCarthy. Does Aaron Rodgers like Mike
McCarthy? I don't know the answer to that. That I'm not sure of.
I'm going to tell you what, and you're the Cowboys fan here. If I'm Mike McCarthy, you know, I win Sunday, I'm wrapping my hands up. I'm not leaving in Jerry in his son's hands
whether
to bring me back. I'm saying to myself, I'm good enough. I've given you 3 12-win seasons. I've gotten the best out of Dak Prescott, put the injuries away. I won't be your scapegoat this offseason.
So that is what's being written about now, is that because they've played much better. Now, it's weird because Jerry Jones has supported him without the contract extension, of course. He has said nothing but nice things about him all year long. He's been peppered with questions about getting rid of McCarthy, and he's backed him the entire time but never given him an extension. And so now that notwithstanding, because it was awful yesterday, but they had won 4 of 5. They had played really well, should have been 5 of 5. Yep. They blew that game against the Bengals. The thought was Mike McCarthy is proving once again that he can coach, which we all know. Maybe it's time for him to walk away because there's going to be good jobs available.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you one job if I'm Mike McCarthy. Go to Chicago. Go get a young quarterback, Caleb Williams, who you can develop.
Potentially, but I know Ben Johnson's been linked to that job, too.
Yeah, but that's not. Well, I like Ben Johnson.
That's a hot name.
Correct, it is. But I don't want to say it in the sense that I got a problem with Ben Johnson. I don't. I just think if I'd rather go with a coach who's been in that position, who has a young, talented quarterback in Caleb Williams, and can develop him, why not Mike McCarthy?
Yeah, it'd be very interesting if Jerry Jones decides to, you know, sit him down and have the, because it, another thing, and you can hate him or not hate him, the fact that he stuck with him after that embarrassment.
But what did he leave him with? No,
he didn't fire him.
Right, but 2/5 of the offensive line were rookies, right? No running backs.
Are we talking about the playoff game last year?
I'm talking about the Cowboys going into this offseason. You talk about.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, but what I'm saying is
last year was embarrassing.
Everybody expected him to get let go after that embarrassing game against
Correct.
The Packers.
That is true.
That's all. And he stuck with them. They had long meetings for weeks.
Yeah, but you can stick with me, but help me too.
Well, I agree with that. That's what I'm saying. Since he didn't give him the extension still, there's that notion that McCarthy, as you said, will just be like, hey, thanks. I did my job.
I don't know
here.
If McCarthy, I wouldn't sit in limbo after the season I just endured.
Right.
If I'm McCarthy.
Because jobs will be taken very quickly. Like, you need to know what's going on so that you can start interviewing.
And you also got to know your worth.
That too.
That's the box I'm sitting in. I got to know my worth. Like, this team is fighting for me now. Valid. Once they got Bland and Parsons back, the defense has been performing
much
a lot
different.
Better.
Yeah.
But Cooper Rush, he's been steady Eddie, right? So not great, but he's been steady.
Funny you say that. So if you look, I made a list of potential bridge quarterbacks for either the Jets or the Giants. He's on that list. He's a free agent.
I would definitely take Cooper Rush.
Yeah, he's not. He's a good. Is he? He's not going to, you know, set the world on fire. He's steady, and he's
sometimes that's all you need.
I know you threw a terrible interception yesterday, but he doesn't turn the ball over.
But that's my point. Sometimes that's all you need. You don't need to be a world beater. I just need you to do your job. If we got a defense and we got enough around us where we can win games, I just need you to be that guy for me.
The Jets have so many questions.
Oh my God!
Like, just in my head, they need a GM. They need a head coach. The owner can't help himself but to make personnel decisions. You've got a quarterback who's going to the Hall of Fame that doesn't know if he's coming back or not next year. You might reset the whole thing by going out and getting a new quarterback. You could blow it up. You might get a coordinator of a coach. You could get an established. I mean, what a mess.
I don't know how the Jets are worse off. And I'm being this serious. They're worse off right now than they were last year.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
It does not make sense. It's really funny. Troy in Virginia. What's up, Troy?
Hey, good morning, guys. We all know the quarterback is very important. obviously, in the NFL. I got a point, and then I have a question for you guys. My first point is there's only been two quarterbacks who have won the MVP that have never played in the Super Bowl. Lamar is the easy answer, but you got to go back to 1980 when Brian Sike won the MVP.
Wow. Okay.
So my point is, you know, 15 years ago in the NFL, we saw guys like Trent Dilfer who were able to get the Super Bowl and even win a Super Bowl. But in the modern NFL, the modern times, we've seen like Mahomes and other quarterbacks who have dominated and they've able to been able to lead their teams. Do you think in the modern NFL we will ever see another guy like Trent Dilfer be able to get their team to the Super Bowl?
I do. Yeah, I really do, actually, Troy. Because of a lot of the reasons that Willie points out. You know, I mean, it is great if you've got Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow. Now, all of that having been said, how many of them have won Super Bowls?
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, Christ's sake, Sam Darnold can go to Super Bowl this season.
He might. He very well.
We don't have to reach for examples.
Now, in fairness, he's putting up numbers like one of those guys, but that's not what he's been.
No. When Sam Darnold left the Niners last year, he was like, all right, he'll be a bridge quarterback. Yeah. He'll be okay. He'll be a good buffer until JJ gets healthy and ready to go. Sam Darnold is arguably playing at MVP level, right?
Correct. And he's giving Minnesota a lot to think about.
And an identity at the quarterback position they haven't had in a long time. Like, say what you want about Kirk Cousins, but he was throwing up numbers. He wasn't winning anything.
Right.
Right? Like, Sam Darnold is
14-2.
14-2 and going into the playoffs and has a chance to get not only to win the division, but be the number one seed.
I know. That's like one of those teams I feel like everybody's been waiting for to kind of fall off. And there's been, aside from the two losses, obviously, there's really been no slippage.
Well as they played this season, and I'm talking about the Vikings here, everybody was like, eh.
That's what I mean.
You know what I mean?
Yesterday was one of those like, damn, these guys really are good.
Damn good.
You know?
And they're rolling dudes.
And almost blew them out. If it wasn't for a late push by Green Bay, that game was all Minnesota. Yeah. Do you realize going into the fourth quarter, I don't know if you were home to see this or not at this point from SNY, going into the fourth quarter, Jordan Love had thrown for 45 yards. 45 yards.
I didn't know that.
I mean, I was, because
you know, But this is why. Man, when you talk about the coaches that are out right now, like Brian Flores has done a masterful job with that defense, right? Even Aaron Glenn in Detroit, with all the injuries that he's been have to endure, like they're still playing hard football. You know what I mean? So like, good coaches matter, and good coaches who know what they're doing in tough times, right? Because when you look at Minnesota, I thought they struggled in the back end a little bit. But for them to get Van Ginkle and after losing Danielle Hunter to the Texans and really getting that front seven to blitz and be on time and to cover, and the way they play with that aggression, that attitude, man, that's all Flores, man. I love it.
Never know. Maybe a fit here. We shall find out. We'll take a break. We've got CeeLo coming up next. We will have a few of the top Boomer and Geo moments from 2024 later in the hour as well, and more of you throughout the course of the morning. 888-808-1019. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, happy holidays, everybody. We've got New Year's Eve coming up in a couple of days. Built Ford Tough Studio, Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. The guys will be back on Thursday. Rip roaring and ready to go for a new year. How about the idea that this will be year seven for Geo?
Yeah.
Think about that.
That is wild.
Isn't that not like how fast? I mean, we talk about time flying by. Seven, or is it year eight?
Eight. It'll be starting eight, right?
It'll be starting year
18,
eight.
19, 20, 21, 22, 23. Yeah, he's completed
in
seven.
In this time slot?
Yes.
Since full-time January of 2009.
Yeah.
Oh, so you've been here. Yeah, you've been here a while, too.
Yeah.
That's a long time. Yes.
Yeah.
No, I know. I'm just saying how fast it goes. It doesn't feel like, well, I guess it's a good thing. That means we're having fun and it just flies right by.
You and I were in here with Boomer for Yankees Astros ALCS 2017. Feels like yesterday.
It does. And yet that's a long time ago
now. It's not.
It is not. My God. Never mind. I'll set it up later. Anyway, 827, take it away, Chris.
All right, brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Even though it got close twice in the second half, this is when it really felt like the Giants were probably going to win yesterday.
End over end kick. Smith-Marset fields it a yard deep. Out to the 20, to the 30, to the 35, to the 40. Across midfield to the 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Amir Smith-Marset.
Right up the gut, 100 yards to the house. Pop.
The whiff by the kicker.
Then he almost kind of was like, damn.
I ain't getting in the way of this guy.
No. Giants get a home win, finally, or unfortunately, depending on where you stand, 45-33 atop the Colts to avoid an 0-9 mark at MetLife Stadium this season. Drew Locke threw for 309, four touchdown passes, and then had the decisive rushing score as well. Hey, where's this offense and quarterback play been all season, Brian Daboll?
That's his fourth start. Again, he played well. It's not an easy position to play, Dan. I don't know how many have won Super Bowls for the last 23 years. It's a hard position to play.
Now, you watched the whole, what was that 23-year?
I don't know.
I think that seemed very specific.
I do not know.
Not quite sure about that. He did add he was proud of the way Locke played.
Maybe he's pointing to the fact that Brady won so many of them, okay, and Mahomes has won a handful now, that it's just not many guys win.
I guess that's maybe, from the start of the Patriots dynasty. That means Malik Nabers, a big part of the success yesterday. Seven catches, 171 yards, two touchdowns. Such a good game, he needed the great Steve Cerby to be a little more specific in his postgame presser.
The touchdown, could you talk about that? Look, did you split the two guys?
Which one?
The one down the right sideline.
They both was on the right sideline. The first one or the second one?
The longer one.
All right. How about this victory costing the Giants the first overall pick, at least for the time being?
What would you tell them, the Giants fans that actually wanted you to lose today?
I mean, I ain't got really nothing to say about that. I don't got nothing really to say about that. The draft will be the draft.
They fall from 1-4 behind the Patriots, Titans, and Browns, each team posting a loss in Week 17. I thought Jermaine Illuminor, of all players, gave the best answer when asked about the draft and losing the top pick. I wish the audio was a little clearer. You had a lot of voices in the postgame locker room in the background, but he says you got to weigh both sides of this.
You would rather your team go out there and fight really against and lay down and just take an ass whooping. You get your pick that you want, but what is that player who they want coming into? You got to establish some sort of culture.
I
get it.
You got to consider
he's
both
right.
sides.
You don't want to lay down.
And he's also like, that locker room is going to be so shaken up, they don't care. They just want to win.
True, too.
Yeah.
Right, guys are trying to put,
it's about the best tape possible they're trying to put out
for their next job.
Correct.
It's funny you bring that up. Did you see Foster Moreau of the Saints and what he said on this subject? I'll see if I can get that for you next hour.
Okay.
Very interesting comments on this whole late season, teams that are out of it, and how you go about playing and finishing the season, that sort of thing. So Giants will wrap up against the Eagles down in Philly next Sunday afternoon. Eagles, I guess, in theory, would be resting some guys since they did wrap up the NFC East title yesterday, 41-7 over the Cowboys. You've got the Saquon Barkley situation as he went for a .167. He's over 2,000 rushing yards for the season, ninth player to do that all time, just 101 away from breaking Eric Dickerson's all-time record. So we'll see if they choose to play him at all season finale,
You think so?
Please. I don't know
who's playing quarterback. Is it going to be Pickett? Is it going to be Hurts? Is it going to be McKee?
Doesn't matter. It's all about Saquon.
I'm
he goes
I'm
out
the
and
first
gets hurt.
One to say go out. Well, no, I know that mentality.
Negative Nancy over there. Okay. We talk about the dark clouds all the time.
No. But think about the fans in Philadelphia.
I understand.
And what Nick Sirianni has already been through.
If he
okays Barkley playing and somehow he's hurt to the point where he's either A, compromised for a playoff game, or B, can't play in it. That'll be the end of
it. I think it's important to play. It's important for him to play on a couple things. One, it's a great compliment to the offensive line who did a hell of a job for them this season, right?
They had a great picture after the game yesterday. They were holding them up,
right?
Like a trophy.
It's like anything when your quarterback gets MVP. It's an indictment on the team, right? It's an indictment on the offensive line, the receivers, is everything, right? So for Saquon, the offensive line and him are tied to the hip. So as much as he gets the accolade, it's really for the offensive line. On top of that, it definitely suppresses or I think it subdues all the negative energy that came from A.J. Brown about him being selfish. I think it pushes a lot of things down, and it gives them one focal point going into the playoff that their guy, who just came for the Giants, is now going to play the Giants. and get the rushing record. I think he's playing. It's bigger than Saquon at this point.
What about the fact that it'll be in the 18th game? And of course, Eric Dickerson didn't have the luxury of that. Don't care?
No.
All right.
At all.
Fair enough. As for the Jets, non-competitive up in Orchard Park yesterday as we move right along, Jerry.
Third and nine. Time to survey. Time to look. Now you got to get rid of it.
No.
Into the end zone, and it's caught. Coleman pulls it down.
Jim Nantz, CBS. Plenty of time for Josh Allen there. That was off the Garrett Wilson lost fumble, which we played last hour. Sandbox stuff from Josh Allen and Keon Coleman there as he's just, you know, dancing around. He goes right, he goes left, and surveying
some
the scene.
Catch.
And yeah, Coleman, if you see the angle, he's just pointing at him and then just, I mean, that ball's thrown up for grabs. And that's a rookie with a good vertical going up to get the ball in traffic. The former Josh Allen, that is, took the rest of the day off as that made it 33-0 Buffalo. It was 40-0 before Aaron Rodgers himself took a seat, giving way to Tyrod Taylor, who led a couple of touchdown drives. 40-14 the final as the Bills go to 13-3. They got the 2 seed behind the Chiefs in the AFC. As for Jeff Obrick's team, what more can you say at this point? Tough to get outplayed this badly.
There's no doubt about that. Absolutely. It's frustrating. It's embarrassing. It's maddening. It's, yeah, it's all that.
Lots from Sauce Gardner this morning, questioning maybe the team's effort, interest, motives, all of the above, and basically makes the point of this can't be about talent because the gap is not this wide. Heck, we beat this team in each of the past 2 seasons without Aaron Rodgers out there.
They had a similar roster. We, quote-unquote, enhanced our roster in all areas. So that just tells me, like, I don't know, bro. It's not feeling, you can't be playing as a team.
You talk about individuals.
Who was it on the Jets that was, I guess on social media, was asked about T. Higgins coming here?
It was Gardner.
It was him.
Yes. I was going to bring that up, but I guess he followed. So T. Higgins has the big game Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
3 touchdowns, including the game winner in overtime. So he posted something on Instagram, Sauce commented, pay that man. And then someone said, like, oh, you know, you got to tell him to come to the Jets because he's going to be a free agent. And Sauce basically said, I'm not going to do that with not in capital letters. So it seemed like a shot at the Jets.
Right.
But then he circled back and maybe it's just an excuse. He's like, well, we've already got Garrett and Davante Adams here. So, you know, he's going to probably
one of those,
go
yeah,
somewhere
one of those
he wants to be the lead guy.
Print.
Exactly.
Right.
For a guy that's talked about, I got to get off social media, you know, which he seems to have
again
a love-hate relationship with. But
yes,
in any event, the Jets are 4-12. They move to 7 in the draft order. They will finish up at home against the Dolphins, who are alive in the AFC wildcard race. You want to talk about a brutal game and a team that had no interest in winning yesterday?
No, Cleveland.
Oh, my God. Yeah. How Jameis Winston never got into that game tells you all you need to know. Dorian Thompson-Robinson was lost out there as they lose to the Dolphins, who are a terrible outdoor team, right? Bad weather, cold, rain. So they win 20-3 without Tua and without Jalen Waddle. So you had Tyler Huntley, who had the lone touchdown in that game, which was a 13-yard rushing score. Miami wins 20-3. They are 8-8. So you've got the Broncos, the Dolphins, and the Bengals, 3 teams for 1 spot in the AFC heading into Week 18. The Sunday nighter from Landover, a good one between the Commanders and the Falcons, 24-all tie into overtime. Washington did take the first possession of OT down the field, held it for over 7 minutes, and it ends with Jaden Daniels hitting Zach Ertz for the game-winning 2-yard touchdown pass, 30-24 victory, wrapping up a wild card berth for the Commanders. Here was Daniels asked about that game-winning play.
It's man coverage. I knew they were going to keep eyes on Terry, and I knew Zach had a one-on-one, and you know, we repped that so many times. I knew he was going to win on it. He was going to make the catch, and it was going to be game over.
And it wasn't
decisive, an easy
catch,
like you're talking about.
Yeah.
And he mentioned Terry McLaurin there. They took him out of the game. A.J. Terrell, I think, gave up 1 catch on him, and they still find a way to win. He spreads it around to other guys, Ertz included. They win the game. That's 11 victories for Washington. We mentioned earlier their best mark since 1991 when they last won the Super Bowl. It was Super Bowl 26 over the Bills. Falcons, clock management there down the stretch. Raheem Morris not using the timeout on their final drive before OT, which ended up in a long 56-yard field goal attempt missed by Riley Patterson. So we played the audio earlier of Morris kind of owning it a little bit, admitting that they probably should have called one. However,
I really believe we can get our operation time a little bit faster there to be able to save that timeout, still be able to click off, potentially get the pass interference, have a couple more snaps there, save the timeouts, and be able to use them there to get that field goal a little bit closer.
You got to move as quickly as
his voice is
moving there. But what are you saving the timeout? They had 3.
I don't know.
There wasn't a ton of time left, and they just needed to get themselves into field goal range. It wasn't like they needed to come all the way
down.
Didn't
this happen to Eberflus?
That's what cost him the job, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Thanksgiving.
Similar, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that. But that was even worse.
Yes, it was.
Because but I remember Caleb was standing there looking around like
he was checking his wristbands. Like, he was totally lost. Yeah, yeah. And in the sidelines screaming at him, guys are stamping their feet. It's like, just call the timeout.
It was nuts.
Oh, boy. Sam Darnold and the Vikings. Here they were icing their home win over the Packers. We talked about this play last hour, and I brought up Cam Akers. You mentioned the fullback, C.J. Ham. Yeah. He did make a big catch in the game, but the one we talked about that put it away was indeed Akers.
Here is the newest, biggest play of Border Battle 129. Third and two for Minnesota from the Green Bay 49. Green Bay has one timeout remaining. Darnold, he'll float one right, and it's caught. Cam Akers at the 45-yard line, uncovered, inbounds, gain of five, and the Packers use their final timeout.
So that put it away, and Paul Allen on Vikings radio was pretty much losing his voice as the game went along.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yelling and screaming.
There's so many big plays. What I liked about what Minnesota did, too, you know, it was third and five, so yeah, you really had to throw it unless you wanted to use it. They didn't come out and say, we're just going to run the ball and make them burn their timeouts. Like that first
they
play,
aggressive.
They threw the ball. Yeah.
Yeah.
They had completion on it. The play went for, I think, 10 or 11 yards on first down. And my first thought was, go down at 9 yards. Make them burn that timeout. Right. You're sitting with second and one. But, it worked out for them. They threw the ball, and they played aggressively.
They did. Big game for Sam Darnold. Threw for 377, three scores. He was the big hero afterwards. He talked to Tom Rinaldi on Fox. He did the one-on-one with Tom Brady, which we'll hear a little bit of coming up next hour. So, point being, it took him a while to get to the locker room. And when he finally did, they went nuts and hoisted him up on the shoulders. Big celebration. Kevin O'Connell, waiting to give his post-game speech, was a witness to all of that.
I think he was probably, he might have been talking to Tom upstairs, but we felt like we waited for a long time, and I certainly wasn't going to interrupt that conversation. And when he came back in, the guys were, they were ready.
Great video from Viking social media as they're celebrating as a team, and O'Connell's kind of just standing off at the side watching this and just shaking his head in amazement at everything that they've built. 14 wins with Darnold at quarterback.
And I had no recollection that he was on the Patriots with Brady.
Yeah.
Until they showed it yesterday during
the game.
It was
Brady's early years, right?
Yeah, recollection of that.
I want to say maybe like late 2000s, something like that, somewhere along those lines. In any event, here was Darnold on that post-game locker room scene when he finally got to the podium to speak to the media.
A lot of water bottles, a lot of water. It was just mayhem. I think I blacked out, you know, when Aaron Jones grabbed me and lifted me up. I didn't know what to do with my hands in that situation. So, Ricky Bobby style, so it was it was an interesting moment, but a fun moment, man, to be embraced by your teammates like that.
He's living the dream right now and heading for a big payday.
You gotta be happy for a guy like that. Yeah. I had the opportunity to meet him when he was with the Jets, man. He was always even keeled, had that Colin Kelly vibe to him, but real just a down to earth guy. To see him excel, especially on a stage like yesterday, man, it just shows you never give up on yourself. Like there's so many stories, like you talk about him, Geno, where people just ripped them off and was ready. Man, like
there's another good example.
You know, I mean, there's so many guys who don't get the acknowledgement solely how they started, but to see where they're at right now, you got to give them their flowers. So happy to see them.
Yep. Bucks over the Panthers, 48-14. Baker Mayfield goes for 359, five touchdown passes. Mike Evans had two. Jalen McMillan had two. So they're back in the driver's seat. They win next week to get the NFC South crown. You got Lions 49ers tonight, but Detroit will play the big one next week, the Sunday nighter, to wrap up the regular season at home against the Vikings to determine both the NFC North crown as well as the one seed in the conference.
Okay.
It's 8:41.
Very good. We will see you next hour.
Nets lost by a point. They made a trade.
Yes.
D'Angelo Russell's back. Knicks Wizards again tonight. Get excited.
And the Rangers play tonight.
Rangers Panthers. Unfortunately, they have to play.
Are you very excited about that?
I mean, they've lost 14 of 18.
It has fallen off the shelf, I know.
They're Boomer. Dead last in the Metropolitan Division.
And think about the way they started the season.
Yeah, I know.
I will tell you, too, Boomer sat here and would say, as they were winning and winning and winning, something's not right.
I agreed with him. I think we talked about it off the air.
And I'm sitting there telling him, stop it. You're winning games.
It was fool's gold in a variety of ways. But I don't think any of us thought to this level.
But
it's gone off the rails.
All right, when we come back, we will have four more moments of the day from the Boomer and Geo program as we are that close to 2025, and then we will get back to it's been football basically nonstop this morning. So we'll just step aside from that for just a moment. We'll get back to the football at the top of the hour with the Giants, the Jets, the NFL. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Bill Fortov Studio, Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. Nice to have you with us. It is December 30th, a couple of days away from 2025. And so as we did Friday, we gave you five moments of the year from the Boomer and Geo program. I've got four for you today and five, the top five, I would say, I've got saved up for tomorrow on the final day of the year. And then the guys will be back on Thursday.
Okay.
All right.
I'm excited.
Now, we'll be here Wednesday, but I don't believe CBS Sports Network will. And that's also the first. So I wanted to get these in before the year ended.
Okay.
All right. So the first one I'm going to... Now, you know Joe Beningo.
Yes, the great Joe Beningo.
If you had to describe Joe B, you would describe him how?
Erratic.
Erratic. Crazy sports jet
fan. Crass at times.
Sure.
Bombastic.
Do you know Joe to be the political type?
No, we've only, anytime I mean Joe has ever conversed, is talk Jets.
Right. He's talking sports.
Yeah.
I know Joe talking Jets, Knicks, Mets, rain. That's all I know Joe. Now, he has gotten a little political the last few years, but that's neither here nor there. In this case, he was on a podcast, the Jake Asman podcast, when he turned his attention to what is going on overseas. And when we played that for Greg Giannotti, who does a terrific Joe impersonation, it's fair to say that G was a little dumbfounded by what he was hearing.
The Joe Beningo talking about that clip yesterday was just absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. That's another one of those things that, just like Rob Sala texting with Joe Beningo last year, that you're like, is this real life? When Joe Beningo says during an interview about Rob Sala being hired, quote, "And I'm sure Lebanon is not happy with Hezbollah." I mean, what? What are we doing? I'm going to tell you this, and I don't want to get political, but in this case, I have to. Lebanon flag, bro. And, you know, all the missiles are coming out of there. And, you know, and I'll tell you this much. That, and this is just me, bro. This is just me. But the Lebanese cannot be happy with Hezbollah. Okay, so I mean, I'm like,
what's this happening? Yeah. On a Zoom call with Jake Asman?
Yes.
What the F?
Yes.
Hezbollah!
Right.
Joe Beningo in talking about Rob Sala, the Jets head coach getting fired, is referencing Hezbollah. These are the things that are happening in 2024. With this Fu Manchu on a Zoom this close to the camera. With some kid.
So that was back in October. That was when Sala had the Hezbollah flag on his arm.
Yes.
I think that's where the tie-in comes from.
It's come
fair,
on.
Fair oh, to man. Say that
Hezbollah!
Gigi was taken aback a little bit. I take you back to June for moment number two.
Okay.
Now you know Adam Schein, correct?
Yeah.
Of course. Everyone knows Adam Schein.
You no asked for it, you got it.
No one has more fun doing the Adam Schein impersonation than Gio, and no one is closer to doing it than Gio. And in this case, this was a Schein clip talking about the Yankees, and then you would hear Gio acting as Adam Schein.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, Aaron Judge did not homer last night.
Ugh.
He had an off night. but he did a couple of nights ago, and it got this reaction from one Adam Schein on Sirius XM in terms of how good he has been.
Out of this world. This 2024 season is something special. Somebody call the fire department. This cat is on fire.
This cat is on fire.
Jimmy, call the ambulance because he's killing people out there. And after you call the ambulance to pick up the victims, then you call the cops to arrest him because he's a murderer. He's murdering the baseball. Put him out, fire department. Arrest him, police. And take care of the victims. In the hospital. Nurses be on call.
So that's one of my favorite ones from the year about playing it today, just because he does such a good Adam Schein.
It feels great.
Oh, tremendous. And then the Schein thing, too. He's on fire. That's very funny. This third out of four.
I love Adam Schein, by the way.
Comes from, yes, a CBS sports guy, Adam
He'll
Schein.
Never say anything wrong bad about. I've never heard him say one thing bad about one person other than.
He didn't like you.
No.
Probably not. Just kidding. third one. Now, back in October, Pete Rose passed away. This is fitting only from the standpoint of Chris played the Mike ones before with the eulogies. Okay. So this isn't a Mike eulogy by any stretch, but Gio remembered after Pete Rose had passed away that there was a special interview when Rose was in studio with Mike. And Rose delivered one of the all-time lines that I don't think anyone saw coming, and Mike certainly didn't either. Go ahead.
Let's listen to Mike Francesa and Charlie Hustle together on this radio station a few years back.
We're down in, as you may not know, South Vietnam is a jungle.
He went to Vietnam with Joe DiMaggio on a tour.
Yeah, 23 days I lived with Joe. Right. And it's so hot you can't sleep, and all of a sudden Joe says, I got to take a shower. I said, Joe, we're not downtown Saigon. We're in the damn middle of the jungle. He said, I don't give a darn. I'm Joe DiMaggio. I got to take a shower. So the only way you could take a shower there is a guy had to get up on a chair, me, have a bucket of water, pour it into this canvas
pull it
thing,
over his head.
Pull the chain, and the guy underneath took a shower. I gave Joe DiMaggio a shower. Now, the best way to describe Joe DiMaggio is he was a penis with a man hanging from it. You're going to get us kicked off the air, Mike.
Then he goes, you're going to get us kicked off the air, Mike.
That one to me is funny because of Boomer's genuine reaction to hearing it. So I thought that one was pretty good, too.
But that was always known, right? Joe had a...
I have no idea.
Had a third leg on him?
I suppose. Yeah. I mean, that's clearly the point he was making there. So that's three of four. And then the last one, and I got the top five that I think from 2024 I'll have for you tomorrow. So one name that we have a lot of fun with around here is Jazz Chisholm.
I'm well aware.
There's a lot of guys that have trouble with the name.
Sure.
And so at one point, just a few weeks ago, and when this happened, I literally put it aside for this purpose to replay it with you. They decided to do the Jazz Chisholm game and go around the room trying to come up with who they thought had the most trouble saying the name. And this is how that game show went just a couple of weeks ago here on The Fan.
All right, Al, let's see. What do you got next?
What about a full-time radio host, BT?
Brandon Tierney. We know that guy is full of testosterone. Let's see BT's jism.
A jizz? Jazz?
What?
Jeez.
That may be the funniest one.
A jizz? Jazz? Jeez.
It sounds like what?
A jizz? Jazz? Jeez.
Jizz, jazz, jeez.
Well, I guess if the general manager of the New York Yankees can't get his own player's name right, it's got to be on a list.
You know what I call this one?
What?
Fresh Jism, Brian Cashman.
Jazz Jism.
There it is! Brand new.
Wow.
Down from the winter meetings.
Brian Cashman sucks.
Jazz Jism.
Number one on the board. One more time,
wow.
Eddie.
Brian Cashman sucks.
Jazz Jism.
All right, very good. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for the top eight jisms. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Jizz. Which was Boomer, who was just out of
his
mind.
That was wild.
Yeah, so these are the types of things we've done all year. We will have the top five
year.
For you tomorrow. Yeah, it was some year all right. The Brandon one is funny just because he caught himself.
Right away, he knew.
And yeah, 100% knew. And Sal, like... What's this?
You ever had one of those moments where you tell yourself not to say it and you say it?
Well, not only that, calling games for the last, whatever it is, 20 years I've been doing, there are names you come across and you practice them. And you practice them over and over and over again. And then you get into the game and it's in your head. And so, like, his name's in your head just because you've heard it done the wrong way so many times. But, like, there are players on different teams routinely that you think about it so much, you screw it up.
Yeah.
It's like you overthink it. So, yes, 100%. And I've mispronounced that name a million times, too.
You just keep going through it.
Yeah, what else are you going to do? It is what it is. You mispronounce a name, you just... But you know what, though, Willie? That is why I take so much issue with the incredible criticism of Tom Brady. So... There's an article today, I forget what publication, it might have been The Post, it might have been Yahoo, I'm not even sure, where they're getting on Brady for the way he pronunciated the word sack.
What did he say?
Sack? Chaz Jism. I'm trying to get to a point here. Like was it Darnold that got sacked or was it Jordan Love? I forget.
Probably Love.
But like the way he enunciated it, he said the word and maybe the K came out a little hard, but it was like, that's what we're getting on him for now? Like, we're really picking it apart. My point is, we're going to make mistakes. That's not something to get on him for. Kind of silly.
And we've talked about this, too. I think he's done a good enough job thus far. He's done a fair job. I think the problem is, I think if you compare him to how Tony Romo started, like, Tony Romo in the booth came out hot.
They loved
him. He was phenomenal. Yep. He brought
because he was different.
He was different. He brought an element to the game. He was so good. People was asking him to tone it down, right? Because he was spoiled.